This is Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
And welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. I am Jeff Crushell. The con man is here, and we're your weekly source for performance information. If you want to get in touch with us with any questions, comments, or smart remarks, do so. CrushPerformance.com is the website. Go to our contact page and drop us a line. And if you have any topics or ideas you'd like us to cover, let us know. We may dedicate a segment or even an entire episode to your idea. If you're on the Twitter, follow us at Jeff Crush. And on Facebook, our page is Crush Performance. Today, a very, very important show as we kick off our Crush Performance Special Investigative Report, Sport Under Fire. A spotlight lit up the dark side of sport in 2017 as we witnessed potentially the biggest college sports scandal in history and the uncovering of alarming details surrounding the Russian state doping program. Well, the integrity of sport and fair play are at a tipping point, and we wanted to find out just how close we are to going over the edge. In 2014, the Director General of the World Anti-Doping Agency stated that the biggest threat to sport is organized crime, and that organized crime controls about 25% of world sport. We're talking money laundering, gambling, match fixing, doping, corruption, human trafficking, and even forced labor. And over the next few weeks, we are going to speak with some of the world's leading experts to find out just how deep down the corruption goes and how it operates. And also, we're going to look at ways that we have been fighting back. How effective has it been? And what can we do moving forward? Because sport is worth fighting for. I don't think we're at a point where we're going to accept that crime and corruption is going to influence not just how sport is played at the highest level, but how we go about developing our athletes for sport. The integrity and fair play side of sport is so important at every single level. And also, there are implications on how it influences and impacts society. We're talking human trafficking, the sex trade, and child protection issues all related to sport. So, over the next few weeks, we will speak with some of the world's leading experts to find out just how deep the corruption in sport goes, how it actually operates, and what can we do to fight back. We'll talk with Gunter Junger, the Director of Intelligence and Investigations for the World Anti-Doping Agency. We'll speak with Minky Warden, the Director of Global Initiatives for the Human Rights Watch. You don't normally connect human rights with sport, but we need to. And some of the details and issues that Minky will bring up are absolutely alarming. We'll also speak with Richard Pound, a former Olympian, the first president of the World Anti-Doping Agency, and the lead investigator into the Russian doping probe. We'll ask Mr. Pound how the investigation got started and what led them to recommend a banning of the entire Russian athletics team from international sport. And because of the influence organized crime is having on global sport, I wanted to get a better idea of how the mafia and organized crime is infiltrating sport and controlling it for their benefit. So we're going to reach out to Michael Franzese, former mob boss of the violent and feared Colombo crime family. Michael was named one of the biggest mafia earners since Al Capone, and he now travels the world using his life experiences for the benefit of corporate executives, but more importantly, maybe, professional and student athletes, at-risk youth, and pretty much anybody seeking to beat the odds and make positive changes in their lives. Michael will talk to us about organized crime, how they penetrate and use sport for their benefit and gain, and what we can watch out for to protect our youth and our organizations from this incredibly violent and dangerous dark side of sport. That's all coming up in the next few episodes of our special Sport Under Fire investigative report. And today we kick it off with a conversation with Dale Sheehan, the director of the Special Investigations Unit for the International Center for Sports Security. Dale will provide us with a glimpse of the dark side of sport and the issues they're investigating, including the impact of illegal betting and money laundering on sport, as well as the issues of athlete welfare and child protection issues. Coming up right after the break, we kick it off with Crush favorite Declan Hill, journalist, academic, author, and consultant. Declan will give us a detailed overview of the state of sport sport, and alarming details on corruption within some of sport's most prestigious sporting organizations. So stick around, everybody, as we kick off the Crush Performance Special Investigative Report, Sport Under Fire, right after this. Sport Under Fire, a special Crush Performance investigative report. The integrity of sport and fair play are at a tipping point. Corruption, doping, match fixing, money laundering, gambling, and even human trafficking. In 2014, the Director General of the World Anti-Doping Agency stated that the biggest threat to sport is organized crime. Over the next few weeks, we speak with some of the world's leading experts to find out just how deep the corruption goes, how it operates, and how we can fight back. Join us Saturdays at 4 for our special series, Sport Under Fire.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. I am Jeff Crochelle. The Con Man is here, and we're your weekly source for performance information. If you have any questions, comments, or maybe a smart remark or two, we love them all. Get to us at crushperformance.com. And if you have any topics, ideas, or anything you'd like us to look into, let us know. Go to the contact page. We answer every single email we receive. And if we like your idea, we'll certainly respond to you. We may dedicate a segment or even an entire episode to your idea. So please let us know what you'd like us to investigate. Today, we kick off a very serious investigation. In 2017, the spotlight lit up a couple major issues in the world of sport. And of course, we're all very familiar with the Russian doping scandal. Russia was banned from the Rio Olympics, and they are now facing sanctions as we head into Pyeongchang. And the entire Russian scandal was blown wide open by a whistleblower that started the wheels of justice in motion. It led to an investigation, which led to the McLaren report, which now has led to the second McLaren report, as we've gotten alarming details of what actually went on in Russia. And of course, also in 2017, maybe perhaps the biggest college sports scandal in history was uncovered, and the FBI investigation really shone light on what can happen inside of collegiate sports as the basketball world was under scrutiny for corruption and fraud as well. It got us wondering what exactly is going on behind the scenes. We're all very familiar with what's going on in terms of the doping movement, but there's so much more. We're talking money laundering, gambling, match fixing, doping, organized crime, corruption, and even human trafficking. Well, at the very epicenter of all of this is the very important work of Declan Hill. Declan is a journalist, academic, author, and consultant for some of the world's largest sporting organizations, including the IOC. And he's written two very, very important books, The Insider's Guide to Match Fixing in Football and The Fix, Soccer and Organized Crime. His work prior to that was as an investigative journalist that really shone the light on the dark side of sport and what is actually going on. So I felt there was no better person to help us kick off our investigative report, Sport Under Fire, than Declan Hill. Declan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you very much. I would say, however, the introduction is accurate, except that I am not a consultant for the International Olympic Committee. I've given keynote speeches there before them, but I'm actually try very hard to be neutral in terms of my work inside those sporting organizations. And my sense, as we'll get into during the interview, is that the International Olympic Committee has become deeply compromised in terms of their toleration for corruption and doping and various other issues in corruption in sport. So just want our listeners to know that there's no official link between me and the IOC or me and FIFA or a number of these other sporting organizations.
Okay, perfect. Point taken. Yeah, you presented to a number of these organizations for sure.
I've also testified before various European parliaments about the problem of match fixing and sports corruption. Doesn't mean I work for them. It means I've testified before them. And I laid out before the International Olympic Committee several years ago the issues that they were facing with sports corruption and match fixing. And in my opinion, again, we can get into this in much more detail, they've pretty well failed And they're now in a process of essentially enabling match fixing rather than fighting against it.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, you have two great books, The Insider's Guide to Match Fixing in Football and The Fix, Soccer and Organized Crime. Two fantastic books, Declan, that have sort of led you down the path of being one of the world's foremost experts on match fixing and corruption in the world of sport. And Declan, let me tell you, it's troubled times in the world of sport right now. And I think one of the reasons we're having this conversation is just sort of to raise awareness and let people know what's really going on out there, because some of the numbers and some of the issues that we're seeing right now are truly alarming. If we look at the issues, as you mentioned, with the IOC, Brazil, and Sochi in early September, we had the NCAA basketball scandal, which is one of the, biggest scandals in terms of college sport. We have the Russian doping program, gambling, match fixing, as you mentioned. Declan, we're in deep here.
Well, I think we're actually awakening from a nightmare. Let's take a step back. You know this, but maybe some of our listeners don't, as to when the trail for me began in terms of my professional career. That was back in the late 90s. I was working for a TV program called The Fifth Estate, which is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's equivalent of 60 Minutes. And I was working on a documentary showing clear, confirmed, and concrete links between really senior Russian mafia godfathers and prominent players in the National Hockey League. So these hockey players, like Pavel Bure, were linked to men who had been identified by U.S. Congress and the FBI as head of the Russian mob, serious guys, both in courtrooms and around the world. So we flew over to Moscow. We did an interview with one particular guy who had been identified by U.S. Congress, specifically the guy who was, quote, head of the Russian mafia. Now, all the Russian mafia provided what's called kreisha and protection for all these guys. So we did an interview with him in his offices overlooking the Kremlin. He's a Georgian guy. He invited us to this dinner after the interview. The camera guy, the sound guy said, you know, once we finished the interview, got back to our hotel, look, we're really sorry. You know, we don't get paid to go to dinner with the head of the Russian mafia. We just get paid to come here and turn on our cameras and work. And myself and the other journalist said, you know, you're absolutely right. We totally understand that. But as journalists, when the head of the Russian mafia invites you for dinner, you'd better show up. So we did. And it was a very tense conversation, beautiful dinner, beautiful food. And we spoke. And in the midst of this conversation, I said, well, I guess you really like hockey. And he said, yeah, I like hockey. It's fine. But what I really like is football. And he started to tell us about how he was at the World Cup final in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena in 1994. And he wasn't just there, Jeff. He wasn't just at the game. He was in the VVIP section where they invite the top 300 one percenters of the world. So Hillary Clinton was there, and Al Gore was there, and Pelé, the former Brazilian great soccer player, was there. But this guy was also there, and he was in the front row. And I was sitting there in this Georgian restaurant in the middle of Moscow, and I was thinking, you know, I really hope I get out of this place alive. And two, if I do, I really want to understand what this guy, a man like him, alleged by FBI and U.S. Congress to be the head of the Russian mafia, was doing sitting in the VVIP section of the world's premier soccer game, the World Cup final. So that's really where it began. So we'll get into the revelations that are coming out now about organized crime connections deep in sport, but they've been there for a long time. And the good news is that at least people are talking about it now.
We're talking with Declan Hill, journalist, academic, author. Declan, sometimes maybe people don't appreciate what it takes to dig down deep in a certain topic. And of course, the area that you focused your work on is a very, very dangerous world. And sitting with the head of the Russian mafia talking about some of the issues that you were addressing, I can't imagine, Declan, I can't imagine the risk factors there. Maybe just preface what was going on to your mind here. And I totally appreciate the journalistic integrity that's involved here, but this was risky, risky business, Declan.
The big one that was really risky was I was very fortunate to be covering the Iraq war in the early 2000s. And while I was in Iraq, I got news that I had a full scholarship to study at the University of Oxford. And And the doctoral research work that I undertook at the University of Oxford, where I looked into match fixing, both the kind of standard academic stuff where, you know, you do quantitative work, you know, you analyze statistics, but also qualitative work. And as part of that work, I infiltrated a gang of match fixers based in Singapore who are traveling around the world fixing major World Cup soccer games and tennis tournaments and cricket tournaments and various other major sporting events. So going in there, going in to meet with those triad-connected Asian fixers was just a massive undertaking in terms of resources and in terms of just those internal resources that you need to have. I remember changing my hotel room every couple of days, moving the furniture around, you know, just in case they came in while I was sleeping, so I would I'd have some kind of edge if they were to attack me in the middle of the night. But it was a pretty high adrenaline investigation. I had the good fortune again to bring that investigation home, to write a book about it. That's the story in The Fix, Organized Crime in Soccer. And based just on that book, I think there are now 35 national police investigations around the world. So that network has been uncovered completely now.
Oh, and your work's so powerful in terms of just raising awareness. And Declan, I think that's what this show and this series, our investigative series here on corruption in sport, is all about. We're very glad to have you today. We're talking with Declan Hill, journalist, academic consultant. You can check out his great work at DeclanHill.com. Declan, are we living in a world of fantasy when it comes to sport? Everybody wants to believe that it's real, it's honest, the integrity is there. But some of the things we're hearing and even seeing in the news in the last few years is pointing another direction. And just to point out a few of the issues or quotes or points that have really, really come to my attention here in my preliminary work on this investigative report is some of the statements that have been made coming out of the World Anti-Doping Agency, which is up against it. Let's face it, the World Anti-Doping Agency is fighting a big, big uphill battle. But the director general in 2014, who was David Howman at the time, said that organized crime controls 25% of world sport, and then it's the biggest threat to sport is organized crime. And I found that a very powerful statement from David Howman.
Yeah, look, sport is an industry. It's an industry of dreams. It's an industry of ideals. It's an industry of great sporting narratives. But it is an industry, and people who are listening to us now, I think understand that, but many people don't, and they imagine that sport is something separate. It's this kind of idyllic playground where grown men and women play as if they're children. It's not. It's an industry, and in any industry in the world, you're going to get corrupt people. You're going to get criminals coming in and trying to make a profit and trying to make money. So I think that's point number one. Organized crime criminals have always been in sport. We've always had corruption going back to the ancient Olympics, 753 BC. There are still statues, there are still plinths outside the Olympic Stadium in Olympia in Greece. And those statues to the gods were built with fines taken from athletes and coaches back in the day because they were fixing and cheating and even doping in those days. So this isn't anything new. But I think the realization that we A, it's there, and B, we can do something about it is relatively new. So as I said at the beginning of our interview, I think we're awakening from a nightmare. I think we can clean up sport, and we can really crack down on this organized crime involvement in sport.
Great. Hey, Declan, yes. Sorry to cut you off there.
No,
that's really encouraging to hear. That's great. This is the message we need people to hear. So where do we start? I mean, it runs very, very deep. And if we look at what happened in Russia here in terms of their state-run doping program, which, you know, for what we've seen in the news, for what we can get out of the media, which is about all we have access to, it was incredibly real. It was organized and it ran really deep. In this day and age, to have a state-run doping program, I think that really shines a light on maybe some of the big issues that we're facing.
Well, again, let's concentrate on the good news. The East Germans, the Chinese, many of the communist and Soviet states had similar programs back in the days of the Cold War. They were stopped with the fall of the Berlin Wall, and what the Russians reintroduced before Sochi, after they failed so significantly during the Vancouver Olympics, was the state-sponsored doping regime. Canadian investigators based out of Montreal, World Anti-Doping Agency, so it's Richard Pound and Richard McLaren, really did a heroic job and really showed the extent of that and were able to stop it effectively from carrying on. How do we support those? Well, look, it's just a question of money. The World Anti-Doping Agency has a ridiculously small budget. It's something like 20 to 30 million, depending on how you calculate it each year. That seems like a lot. But then you think of the billions of dollars of money spent in sponsorship of sports. So how much money the Adidas's, the Nikes, the Pumas, all the other big sporting companies put into sports, the TV rights, the ticket rights, all these kind of things. And the sporting leaders and officials are spending a fraction of that, not even 1%, a tiny fraction of that, guarding the integrity of sport. Mm-hmm. And yet WADA, once they were able to get investigative powers, was able to stop something. So my advice to sports leaders and sports fans is, if they really want to up the ante in terms of stopping corruption in sport, is just back an organization like WADA. You know, double their budget, give them 50 to 60 million and see what they can do. And I think people would be genuinely surprised and genuinely heartened at what they can do.
Yeah, great stuff. We're talking with Declan Hill, author of The Insider's Guide to Match Fixing in Football and The Fix, Soccer and Organized Crime. Declan, the Olympics seem to be a big issue, and the IOC also has been popping up in the news recently, you know, investigations looking at Brazil and Sochi and many, many others of corruption inside of that organization. Are the Olympics in trouble? Do we need to rethink the IOC and the Olympics? Declan, you mentioned some very interesting points at the start of the interview.
Well, look, the International Olympic Committee for almost 2 years was enabling Russian state-sponsored doping. The Canadian heroic investigators, that's Richard McLaren and his team, delivered a report just before the Rio Olympics saying, look, you know, there's a significant problem here. It's corroborated. This is stern evidence, and the IOC has to take a stand. And it's taken them almost 2 years to take that stand. So, for example, the Paralympics, and again, if there's any listeners that are kind of doubting this or want some background, just go do a quick Google search into the different response to that state-sponsored doping by the Paralympics. That's a shadow or a partner organization to the IOC. They immediately banned the Russians. They looked at the evidence, they looked at these reports and said, hey, this is not going to take place in our sporting venues. Where it's out. Whereas the IOC really had an enabling of sports corruption for almost 2 years. And what I mean by enabling it, I'm not accusing the IOC of taking bribes or colluding directly with the Russians, but they certainly enabled that corruption.
On top of this, if you look at some of the stories, Declan, that are coming out from Brazil and Sochi and favoritism and bribing in terms of host cities, but also the cost of building these stadiums and facilities for these Olympics, it's almost overwhelming. And inside, there seems to be some turmoil and some very shady business going on there as well.
Yeah, look, can I just stop this interview for 1 second?
Absolutely.
And say, as Canadians, let's stop focusing on international sports. We have our own problems with organized crime here in Canada. Mm-hmm. We have a league, the Canadian Soccer League, which is known around the world as a host of match fixing. It is the go-to example whenever Interpol and these international police conferences have discussions on well-embedded match fixing and corruption in the world. The fixing in the Canadian Soccer League is so bad that many bookmakers around the world refuse to offer bets on it because it's just like, hey, it's such a corrupt league. This is in Canada. It's been talked about. It's been exposed internationally. There have been multiple reports. I've written a number of exposés in the Toronto Star about it. My journalistic colleagues at CBC did a documentary about it a number of years ago. This is well known. And Canadian officials, both the RCMP, the various police at various levels, have absolutely refused to do a serious, proper, credible investigation. And the Canadian soccer officials and sporting officials have really turned a blind eye to this. This is a significant issue. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Canadian listening to this, you should say, you know what? Heck with the IOC. Heck with all these other things. This is happening on my watch in my backyard. And my children will be going to see these games or will be participating some way in this infrastructure. And organized crime is embedded in the Canadian Soccer League, and we got to stop it.
Yeah, so right. And, you know, Declan, I coach my daughter's U14 soccer team, and these girls, we take them to the games. They watch the games. They're fans of the games. And if you look what's happening in Canada right now, we're starting to get stadiums full of fans for these soccer games. So that's an alarming, you know what, this will be an alarming realization for a lot of soccer fans in Canada and North America because that crosses the border, I'm sure.
Look, it's a realization of you know, are we going to take this seriously? You know, this is something that we can do. It's happening on our patch, on our watch. You know, the IOC, all these other issues are something else. But this is just above grassroots soccer. It's happening in our continent. Let's get it sorted.
Yep. So, Declan, what are the steps moving forward then? What do we need to do to as people out here? You know, sometimes we look at the political landscape, we feel helpless, even though we go out and vote. You know, we go out and we coach and we give our best to the kids, and then we hear about these stories and we realize it's part of, you know, the industry. Maybe it's a dark side of the industry. But in your estimation, in your experience, what would be some of the major steps forward? And not just in soccer. You mentioned tennis being one of the worst sports out there as well as cricket. And again, boxing, we all know about those stories. But Declan, where do we start in terms of, you know, fathers and coaches and organizations at the grassroots level moving forward, the people who are listening to our show today?
Look, there's a couple of things. First of all, you know, all the listeners should be thanked for listening to this. This is, if they're not aware of these issues in sport, it's difficult to listen to. So, hey, acknowledge and recognize we have a problem. That's the first step in dealing with anything, be it alcoholism to whatever issues you say. Like, we got a problem. This is an issue. Now, how do we deal with it? But acknowledging that is an issue. Second of all is the acknowledgement that this is not a insoluble problem. We can solve this problem. And there's actually a whole bunch of money, a whole bunch of influence that has been pumped into this debate as if it were an insolvable problem. So, you know, this is too complicated to solve. There's nothing we can really do. Oh my goodness, it's so complicated. What are we ever going to do? And much of that money is coming from the Qatar-sponsored people who want to make it seem as if this is such a massive problem, which it is, and there's nothing that can be done. There's actually many, many, many things that can be done about it. You know, the analogy I would use is that this is like a meatpacking plant. Everybody knows that there was tainted meat for years before the government stepped in and put independent government inspectors inside the meatpacking plants. They weren't being paid by the industry. They were separate. They were people without a conflict of interest who could go in and make sure the food that was being produced was clean. We need similar organizations like that in international and domestic sport. We need our own national sports agency to deal with doping and corruption, as there is in Australia, as one is being set up in New Zealand. Each country needs that. It needs to be well-resourced with sponsorship money being able to be paid directly so the Nikes, the Adidases of the world, they can give money directly to these agencies. You know, this is not an insolvable problem. We can do it. And for our children's sake and for sports' sake, we had better start doing it.
We're talking with Declan Hill, journalist, academic, and consultant. His website is declanhill.com. Declan, great insight today. You mentioned Qatar and maybe getting to the head of the dragon. I mean, how deep do we need to go to cut this off? I mean, there's the surface, there's the grassroots, but is there a deeper problem that maybe we can't even see through maybe the
absolutely.
Fog?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's absolutely one. And this is, there have been three major battles in this stage of my career. One was to identify the full scale of match fixing in modern day sport and expose it, write books about it, find the evidence and really bring that out and do that safely, both physically and legally. The second battle was getting people to listen. And that was difficult because when my books first came out a number of years ago, the tendency among sports fans and sports journalists was just to deny. And I think those two battles have been successfully won. People are engaged in them, they're talking about it, they understand the issues. Now there's a battle where the Qatar and the private European private gambling industries are really affecting this debate for their own commercial agenda. And the Qatar people came into this just weeks, a couple of months after they had won, very controversially, the rights to hold the World Cup of soccer in 2022 in their country. It was greeted with skepticism around the world. People thought that they had bribed their way into winning this right to win the World Cup. Much of what we've seen since that date has confirmed that story. There have been all kinds of corroborated evidence of vote rigging, vote buying. But the Qatar people decided to set up their own, quote, international agency to discuss sports integrity and really divert the attention and really send a message of this is such a complicated issue. It's impossible to solve. There's nothing that can be done, i.e., if we were to be caught definitively having paid bribes for the World Cup, it would be just part of this landscape. What could we do? It was the only thing that we could do. So the analogy that I use now in terms of discussing sports integrity is that it's really like discussing public health back in the 1970s and 1980s, that there are many academics, there are many institutions out there that have been tainted with tobacco industry money. The tobacco industry was directing public health research and trying to push the agendas back in those days by setting up academics, setting up third-party agencies. The same thing is happening in sports integrity.
Declan, very, very insightful. So there's hope is what you're saying in the big picture. At the end of the day, we're moving in the right direction, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. The reason why the Qatar people and the private gambling industry people are spending tens of millions of dollars in trying to shift this agenda is that this agenda is actually important. There is stuff that we can do to clean up sport. And I think programs like yours where we raise awareness are the very first step, and I think that you're to be congratulated for doing it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Declan. And, of course, we're always appreciative of your work. What's coming up in 2018 for Declan Hill?
Well, there's a whole bunch of things. I'm coming out with a new book about the connections between the Russian mafia and international sports. So that'll be coming out in the spring.
Excellent. Well, we'll look forward to touching base in the spring, Declan. And again, we really, really appreciate your insights and your time today.
Thank you. And please, listeners, this is a really important issue. Sport is worth fighting for. And so please don't give up on it. We can win this battle. It's a battle worth fighting for. It's a battle worth continuing. So thank you very much for your attention and time today.
And there you go, everybody. A powerful way to kick off our investigative report, Sport Under Fire, with crush favorite Declan Hill, as he shed light on some of the major issues that we're facing in sport today. We got to cut out for a quick break, but when we come back, we will talk with Dale Sheehan, the director of the Special Investigations Unit for the International Center for Sport Security. These guys have a very full menu as they investigate fraud, match fixing, illegal betting, money laundering, athlete welfare, including sexual harassment and abuse, conflicts of interest, breaches of ethics, human trafficking, and child protection issues in sport. Another very important conversation in the Crush Investigative Report, Sport Under Fire, right after this.
Radio Influence brings you the absolute best in digital audio broadcasting. We've got something for everyone. Sports personalities like the fabulous Sports Babe, Rich Herrera, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy as they take you inside the dugout. We'll take you inside the world of MMA with the MMA Report with Jason Floyd, the MMA Insiders, and the Valor Hour with Tim Loy and Casey Oxendine. Or you could find yourself sitting ringside with wrestling ring announcer David Penn. TV law enforcement analyst and former police officer Vincent Hill breaks down this week's biggest crime stories and takes you beyond the badge. Chef Brian Duffy from TV's Bar Rescue shares his crazy life on the road with Duffified Live. And Scott Ledger will always make you think with some dangerous conversation.
All of Radio Influence's shows can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at CrushPerformance.com.
Welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Kerschell here. CrushPerformance.com is the website. If you're on Twitter, at Jeff Crush. And on the Facebook, go to our page, Crush Performance. We're hooking everybody up with the world of performance, one way or another. And today is episode number one of our very special investigative report, Sport Under Fire. The integrity of sport and fair play are at a tipping point. And we wanted to find out just how close we are to going over the edge. We're coming off a fantastic conversation with Declan Hill, who really shone light on the inner workings of crime and corruption inside of sport, how it actually works, and some of the bigger issues that we're up against. Well, in 2014, a study came out from the International Center for Sport Security saying that criminal gangs launder more than $140 billion through sport betting. And soccer, cricket, tennis were the most threatened by criminals seeking to rig gambling. But also we're seeing issues in basketball, motorsports, badminton, believe it or not, and of course boxing. And to help shed some light on that incredible two-year study into money laundering and to help us understand exactly how this world of crime and corruption is operating inside the world of organized sport, we're now joined by Dale Sheehan, the director of the Special Investigations Unit for the International Center for Sport Security. Dale, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning.
Well, with the Olympics right around the corner and some other major sporting events set to take place in 2018, Dale, it's really great to be able to touch base with you to talk about some of the issues that sport is facing when it comes to corruption and the dark side of sport, so to speak. If we look at the landscape that's going on today, we have issues in terms of money laundering, match fixing, bribing, fraud, of course, doping. We look at what's happened with the Russian state-run doping program and the banning of that country from the Olympics. There's a lot of issues that sport is facing. You have 35 years of experience with international law enforcement, starting with the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. You've worked with Interpol, the United Nations, and other major sporting organizations around the world. Dale, in all of your experience, can you sort of maybe give us a lay of the land, so to speak, as to where we're at in our battle against corruption in sport?
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity. It's very interesting that there is a perception out there that sport is a multi-billion dollar industry and therefore can police itself. And quite frankly, that's simply not true. Any opportunity that organized crime has to follow the money, they certainly will. And as you've seen, there are clearly examples worldwide in which sports has been infiltrated. And it's important to protect the integrity of sport worldwide. One of the things you used to do is read the sports section in the newspaper and watch it on TV, because they were always good news stories about accomplishments and personal milestones, where nowadays you turn on the TV and read the news, and more often than not, it's a negative story that is tarnishing sport.
It is too bad. And I think, Dale, that's one of the reasons we really do need to raise awareness here. You know, there's a lot of good things going on in terms of our fight against these sort of the dark side of sport, but it's real. And when I look at the goals and objectives, the role of the Special Investigations Unit, you guys are sort of charged by the International Center for Sport Security to look at administrative corruption and misconduct, fraud, match fixing, illegal betting, money laundering. You guys look at athlete welfare, including sexual harassment and abuse. You guys also cover areas like conflicts of interest and breaches of ethics, as well as human trafficking and the child protection issues in sport. That's a really big to-do list, Dale.
It's a massive mandate, and the International Center for Sport Security have excellent partners. It's certainly not something that we can or want to do alone. So the integrated partnerships are truly making progress. And one of the things that we've just launched in the last few weeks is a whistleblowing hotline. And that, in my view, it's an independent hotline. It's going to target all of those issues that you just spoke about, and it's going to provide people the opportunity to be able to report on some of those issues in complete confidence, and hopefully allow us to further investigate some of these pressing issues and gather intelligence and information as well as research.
Well, Dale, I really like that because that's sort of how the Russian doping scandal was blown wide open. It was a whistleblower and one of the Russian athletes as well. So the whistleblowing side is sort of a new, I guess, platform on the fight against corruption and all the dark side of sport. And it could be all powerful, especially if we can protect the identity of those who really want things to go the right way.
Yes, certainly. I mean, the whistleblowing site, it's clearly anonymous. And it gives people the protection and the ability to speak out in quite frankly, in some situations where they're unable to do otherwise. And if you've noticed in the last while, the issues on human smuggling, child exploitation, sexual assault worldwide, there's no doubt that's just scratching the surface. And there's a requirement and a need. And this this hotline and whistleblowing site is completely independent of any sporting entity. So we believe that there will be confidence when people do call in or report in.
We're talking with Dale Sheehan, the director of the Special Investigations Unit for the International Center for Sports Security. Dale, a lot of issues here that I think people maybe aren't quite aware of. You know, we hear about the doping in sport. We know, you know, in the news nowadays especially, which is, I guess, a really big move forward. We're not afraid to post the names of our sporting superstars on the front page if they've been caught cheating in terms of doping. Match fixing, we're very familiar with. It's been in the news quite regularly. Some of the corruption issues we've seen with FIFA and IOC for certain. But you mentioned something that I think might take people a little off guard, the idea of human trafficking and child issues inside of sport. It's a real issue, isn't it? Isn't it, Dale? And I wonder how deep does that really run?
It's one of those areas that does exist, and it's also one of those essential areas that isn't vastly known. But certainly you see situations where, again, any opportunity there is to make money, organized crime would be involved. But there are situations where athletes are being trafficked into certain areas. And if they don't make the cut or they don't mature into the athlete that they were supposed to, very often they're left on onto their own resources. That includes without proper paperwork, passports. So on some of these issues, it's all about transparency and it's about integrity. And one of the things that we're hoping with the whistleblowing line is that to gather further intelligence and research into that area.
Yeah, it's surprising. A note that came out of the ICSS there stated that human trafficking is the fastest growing criminal enterprise, and there's about a $150 billion year global business revolving around human trafficking. That includes, of course, the sex trade, also cheap labor, as well as young child athletes. And so all these things come together to be a real, real important global issue now.
And you're absolutely right. And the more these issues are made public, you can see recently at the Grey Cup where the Ottawa City Police ran a small task force for human trafficking in the sex trade, and were very successful in infiltrating it and arrests made. So the more that the public realize that these issues are out there, none of these issues, including match fixing, none of them are victimless crimes. They all come with a price tag against people.
We're talking with Dale Sheehan, the director of the Special Investigations Unit for the International Center for Sports Security. So, Dale, you know, I think we're all very familiar with the doping issues. Of course, we're all watching the Olympics with interest as they are right around the corner. We know about the Russian issues. I think everybody who's at least remotely interested in the sporting world has seen what the International Cycling Union has gone through with their doping scandals, and most recently the Lance Armstrong issues. Major League Baseball has made some major movement forward in terms of their doping programs, and that's pushing professional sports forward as well. But interesting to note that, you know, most of the I guess black market steroids and banned substances are coming from the people who are sort of organizing and controlling sport. WADA recently issued a statement saying that they believe about 25% of the world's organized sport are run by organized crime. And these are the same characters that are supplying a lot of these illegal substances as well. So there's a lot of, I guess, crossover when we look at the dark side of sport, isn't there?
Exactly. One of the initiatives that the International Center of Sports Security and the International Association of Lawyers have undertaken is the FITS Global Study into that exact area. And that is looking into the financial integrity and transparency aspects about club ownership, about player transfers, and who's investing into what. There is an extensive amount of research that is needed, but it's absolutely essential to address the emerging threats that are facing some of these things. By bringing stakeholders together from all sporting industries, we have the ability to drive overdue reform.
Dale, you know, we look at some of the big events that have happened recently, and this is some information that's, I guess, front and center on the ICSS website. The issues of sort of the corruption in the major events. We're talking about the Olympics and the World Cup of FIFA. There's corruption there, and I think you mentioned it earlier. Wherever there is big money and big sport, there's also the opportunity for corruption. And, you know, when we talk about the human trafficking, it goes well beyond the sex trade. And, of course, the really interesting one to me is the migrant workers that seem to be getting abused in terms of organizing and running these facilities or building the facilities for these major events. In Russia, 2014, Sochi cost about $51 billion to put together. And a lot of that was on the backs of migrant workers that were never paid or paid very little. And some of the reports mentioned that they were paid $1.80 to $2.50 per hour, if they were paid at all, in terrible living conditions. And of course, the 2020 World Cup in Qatar is also really under investigation because they're expecting that cost upwards of $140 billion. And there's already been numerous deaths associated with the terrible conditions and the migrant workers there as well. This is a big issue, and I know you guys are involved in this as well.
I think one of the things, again, with the transparency and the awareness, is working with other entities to ensure that standards are followed, that they're put into place to protect people engaged in all aspects of sport. And through discussions and through awareness, things can only improve.
Dale, you've been involved with the international law enforcement. You've worked with the RCMP. You've coordinated some very, very powerful movements with Interpol, and you've coordinated with the UN as well. In your opinion, in all your years, in your 35 years of experience, it just seems like such an uphill battle. Are we ever going to get ahead, Dale? Are we making progress, or where are we at in terms of this fight in corruption in sport?
I do believe we're making progress. I would like to think that we can do a lot better, a lot faster. The key to all of this, in my belief, is integration. Organized crime has no problem talking to each other and tipping each other off and protecting each other, from law enforcement to sport entities to some of the ownership. By working together and sharing information and intelligence, and not necessarily putting the sport first, but using all of those tools to make sure that the integrity of the sport is protected, I do believe we can make progress. But make no doubt about it, there is a lot of work to do in a lot of the issues that you've met. I believe that by working together, we will achieve the goals. And as you can see, it's in the news, it's in the on the TV, it's in the newspapers, it's on Twitter. These issues are becoming more and more open. And the more people talk about them and the more that we provide opportunities for people to talk about them and report on them, the sport industry is starting to take it a lot more serious.
Yeah, and it is good news, isn't it, Dale? So as fans, parents, coaches, maybe we're involved in developmental sport at some level, college, minor league, professional sports, doesn't matter. But, you know, sometimes as a regular person, so to speak, we can feel kind of helpless when it comes to these bigger issues in sport. But I think maybe the first big step is exactly what we're talking about here today, being aware of what's going on. So if you do see it, you have an awareness and an idea that there is something you can do about it, isn't it? Because it's not very difficult to feel helpless in the face of these giant, giant issues that we're facing, especially when it comes to sport on a global basis.
I fully agree, and I would encourage your listeners. Sports are the very fabric of society, and it's something that we start as children. It starts teaching us about leadership and partnerships, and it's absolutely essential that if you're out there and you know something or see something and it just doesn't look right or feel right, take a step forward and help protect sport. It is essential for our youth and our societies. So there are tools and there are the possibilities out there for you to report on some things confidentially or not. And I do believe that if we all work together, we can make some very positive strides.
Great stuff. Dale Sheehan, Director of the Special Investigations Unit for the International Center for Sports Security. Dale, we really appreciate your time today. Very, very eye-opening, a great, great input, and we'll look forward to keeping in touch with you as we move forward.
Thank you very much.
And there you have it, Dale Sheehan from the International Center for Sport Security. Well, that will be the show today, show number one of our very special series, Sport Under Fire. I have to thank Dale Sheehan, of course, for coming on today, and Declan Hill for setting the stage. All of his great work has spurred on numerous investigations inside the world of organized sport. And we have plenty more to get to in the upcoming episodes in our Sport Under Fire series. We will continue to look at money laundering, gambling, match fixing, doping, organized crime, corruption, human trafficking, and forced labor, all revolving around the world of sport. And we'll speak with some of the world's leading minds and experts as we work to uncover the issues threatening the integrity of sport and fair play. It's a very important topic, and I want to thank you for listening today. If you'd like to share today's show, you can go to our website, Crush Performance, and access the podcast there. And please join us next week as we continue our special investigation looking into crime and corruption in sport, Sport Under Fire. We'll talk to you then.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is Jim Fannin, America's Zone Coach, and I'm excited about bringing my new podcast, The Jim Fannin Show, to RadioInfluence.com. Each week, we're going to talk about the zone and how this mindset can help you in all facets of your life. I'll give you all the tools you need to change your life and help guide you to become your genuine, authentic best self. With the only proven blueprint for attracting the zone mindset, I've helped transform millions of lives. In my 40 years of experience, I've coached CEOs and senior executives from 350 of the Fortune 500 companies in 50 different industries. I've coached professional athletes, Olympic gold medalists, Hall of Famers, all pros, all stars, entertainers, and so many more to help them gain the tools and techniques to create a life of simplicity, balance, and abundance. And now it's my privilege to bring these methods to you every week, along with some of my champion good friends as special guests. If you want to get in the zone in all you do, check out the Jim Fannin Show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.